And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. We'll stop right there and say that I believe with everything there is about me that what people need to hear and what I truly believe people want to hear is what thus saith the Lord. Especially people who have been saved. That the psalmist said that his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in his law did he meditate both day and night. And I'm convinced that the old preachers preached what thus saith the Lord. It wasn't all about what a catchy little text you could come up with, or what you could come up with in the way of something fancy or ear appealing to hear, but what thus saith the Lord. The fine old prophet was commissioned whenever the Lord gave him his instruction to go, and he said, you go down to those people. He said, I'm going to send you down there, and every time you start out, you say, thus saith the Lord. Now he said, I will tell you, they're not going to hear you because they will not hear me. When you think about it, and I think of this from time to time, whenever that I feel like that, you know, maybe my preaching is not as effective as I think it should be. Or sometimes when I think maybe that I've not done the job as it needed to be done, that's not my call to make. My job is to preach the word. To preach the word. The Lord will take care of the results. He always has, and he always will. I struggled a lot with this revival, probably more than any that I ever have in all the years I've been preaching, and maybe because I don't preach that many anymore. But I want you to know this evening that I'm a firm believer that what needs to be preached to saved and unsaved alike is what thus saith the Lord. And Jesus, when he was here, the Bible says that as he went, he was preaching the word unto them. And people came out in droves to hear him and to see him. There were people who came from every walk of life, from every place under the sun, to hear the Lord. Now, I'm sure that if he were here in person today in a physical body, that he still would be drawing crowds larger than any other person who's ever lived upon the face of the earth. I believe that. In proportion to the number of people there are, there would still be a small amount of people. But I will guarantee you he would still be preaching the same thing. And he is still here today. He's just not in that physical, visible body so that people can see him. But he left us the Holy Spirit, his presence. And we have that privilege of having him with us every day of our lives. And we have the opportunity to hear him. He left his word. All down through the ages, man has tried to destroy and discredit the word of the Lord, and that has not changed. It is still being done today. We still have people who do everything under the sun to mislead and misguide people and try to convince them that what we have is not the word of the Lord. But God has continued to allow his word to be here, and he also then has blessed us with the privilege of being able to read it and to study it and to understand it. if we ask of him. And so it's important as to what the word of the Lord says and that we're familiar with it. But in this particular portion of the word of the Lord, Jesus had come here into Capernaum, and the word had got out that he was here in a certain house, and there was a man sick of a palsy. And he wasn't capable of getting himself to the Lord. But I'm sure that he knew if he could just get to the Lord, that the Lord could heal him of his palsy. But he also had some friends. And sometimes lost people need a friend. Sometimes they need someone to help them. Remember the other night when I preached to you about the Ethiopian eunuch, that whenever that Philip had come to him and said, "Do you understand what it is that you're reading?" He said, "How can I, if some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He wanted someone to help him. I'm convinced there are lost people this evening who are wanting help. They need help. And just as surely as they need help, God is speaking to some of his children and saying, "I have a job for you to do." As the fine old servant of the Lord did whenever he heard the Lord speaking to him and say, "You go down, Ananias." I've got that wrong. Lost his name. And go down, because I have a fellow that is waiting and it needs to see you and to hear from you. Was Ananias right? Is it Ananias? I've got my right guy. We were sitting down for the apostle Saul. Paul? Ananias, yeah. Yeah, okay. Had it right. I got to thinking, oh, was it the house of Ananias? But it wasn't, was it? Anyway, the servant of the Lord, he said, you go down there, because I have been dealing on the other end with this fellow by the name of Saul. Let me tell you something this evening. When God is dealing with lost people, he's dealing with saved people. He's not only dealing with lost people and preachers, he's dealing with his children. And many times his children are the ones who have the responsibility and the message, and are the ones who are able to help that individual to get to the Lord. This man had the palsy. He had four friends who were determined that they were going to get him to the Lord. And they knew that when they got him to the Lord, that he could be cured of his leprosy. I'm convinced that any child of God that's been born again knows this evening, without any reservation, that God can save people today the same as he always has. He saved me. He saved you. Then he can save anybody. And he still does. Now listen to what the word of the Lord says. They get down there, and the whole house is surrounded, and they can't get in. They can't get this man in there. That's what they do. Well, just well go home. No use for us to try anything, because it'd take too much trouble. He's probably not worth it. No, that isn't what they said at all. They stopped and they thought a little bit about how are we going to get him to the Lord. And they used some unconventional means, some methods. They said, "This is what we'll do. We'll just go up on the house and we'll take the roof off." Now, I don't suspect that they went and asked the man of the house, "Would it be okay if we just take the roof off your house tonight?" No. They weren't concerned about that. What they were concerned about was this friend of theirs who had palsy that needed to get to the Lord. And whatever it took, they were willing to see that he got there. Our people today are so scared to death of what this church over here and that one over there and this one back there, that one over there is going to say or think if we do something, that we just thought, well, let's not do anything, because we sure don't want to upset anybody else and we don't want them talking about us. Let me tell you something. When we lose the vision of lost people, whenever we get to the place, I guess maybe, Ronnie, I'm not sure I can stay with lost people tonight. It sounds like I'm going more back to being a pastor again, so you may have to change my title back or something. We've got to understand that God doesn't always work the way that everybody else expects him to work, and he isn't always going to have us doing the way that everyone else thinks we should be doing. We're so afraid that we might do something a little different that might offend someone or upset someone. I was thinking just this week again, you know, it used to be that people say, oh, I don't want my children to be going where those preachers are going to scare them. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of them that needs the devil scared out of them. I'm just not kidding you about it. If that's what it takes for them to know that they need to be saved, then that's what it takes. Instead of us just coddling them and saying, oh, you're going to be okay, don't worry, no, we don't want you to get upset or anything. We've modified everything that we've got so far from what the Word of God teaches. It's no wonder to me that there aren't any more people being saved than there are. It's not God's fault, it's our fault. These old boys go up there, they take the roof off the house. Now listen. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith. You know what these evangelists, these healers today are saying? If I was to go up there and say, hey, I want one of you guys to heal my ear that I don't have. Oh, that's something that can be seen, and we can't do that. But I said, I've got a bad back too. Can you take it? Oh, yeah, we can take care of that, you know. And they're going to heal me. And after they pray and they heal me, and I say, I've still got a bad back. Well, you don't have enough faith. That's the reason you didn't get healed. You didn't have faith. Well, let me tell you something this evening. This old boy who had the palsy, it wasn't his faith that the Lord saw. It was their faith. Sometimes we've got to get the thing straight, folks. Sure, I've got to have faith. But that's a cop-out again. You know, we just swallowed this thing hook, line, and sinker. We need to get back to what the Word of the Lord teaches. Yeah, sometimes we're the ones who are the hindrance. Sometimes we're the ones who are holding the thing up. Sometimes it's us that has something to do. Maybe we're one of the four. Last week when we had the funeral, I ended up carrying one side of the casket. We only, you know, there were three from the funeral home and me. That's not rare. It's a little uncommon, but we do it every once in a while. And I don't have any problem with doing that. But my point is this evening that if I'd have said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm the preacher, man. I've got to walk up here in front of that thing, you know. I'm not going to take a hold of that. Well, what are they going to do? Three of them? They'd have made it. They'd have got the job done, I'll guarantee you. I know those guys well enough to know. But it wasn't going to hurt me to help a little bit. You know, sometimes we just get the idea it's everybody else's responsibility. Let me tell you something this evening. The Lord will get the job done with or without us. Don't you doubt that for a second. People every once in a while say, oh, I don't know what we'd do if we didn't. I'll guarantee you what you'll do. You'll go right on like I wasn't here. You betcha. The Lord's work is going to go on. It's not dependent upon me. I'm dependent upon Him. Every single one of us. Sometimes we get this idea. He can't do without me. Let me tell you something. He had the business going long before I came along. And if time goes on, it'll be going on a lot longer after I'm gone. Yeah. But while I'm here, I've got a responsibility, and I can be one of those four that helps get them to the Lord. Yeah. Don't have to do it by yourself. There should be some others there. These old boys, they let him down there before the Lord. And the Bible says, and Jesus saw, seeing their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I got about 3 minutes. You guys get ready. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know what? His sins were forgiven him too. The Lord, oh, that's all the Lord had to do is say it. But now listen. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Which is it easier for me to say, one or the other? You want to, I know, he said, I know what you're reasoning. I know what you're thinking. You know, God knows the thoughts and the intents of every one of our hearts before we even think them. Yeah. Yeah. These people say, oh, he's committed blasphemy. He said to that man, your sins are forgiven. Who does he think he is, making himself equal with God? Whether it's easier to say, Jesus said to them, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion.